Hello. You are listening to the Grieving Parents Sharing Hope podcast. We are here to walk with parents on their unwanted journey of child loss, guiding them to a place of hope, light, and purpose, not in spite of their child's death, but as a way to honor his or her life. And now, here is your host, author, speaker, and bereaved parent, Laura Deal.
Hi, thank you for joining me today. Before I talk about my guest, I just want to let you know that I did have some noisy traffic that you might occasionally hear in the background. It might even sound like a plane taking off at one point, which is actually a truck that we get to hear coming and going past our apartment window here, sometimes 1, 2, 3, 4 times a day here at our apartment. Today and next week, you're going to hear from someone I consider a precious friend. There are some people you meet who you just have an instant connection with, and Linda Dillo is one of those people in my life. She has been a guest on the podcast before, and today I wanted to talk about her newest book, which was written after the death of her daughter, Joy, and it's titled Hope for My Hurting Heart, 8 Heart Skills to Help You Cling to God and Not Give Up. Now, I have a lot of highlights in my copy of Linda's book, so I am pretty excited to be able to talk to her about it and let you in on our conversation. Now, I anticipated a long talk, and I was right, it was. So, like I already said, we're going to divide this up into 2 separate episodes. So before I share this first part of my talk with her, let me officially introduce Linda to you. Linda Dillo's new book is Hope for My Hurting Heart. She's also the author of several best-selling books, including Calm My Anxious Heart, Satisfy My Thirsty Soul, and Intimate Issues. Linda and her husband Jody ministered in the former East European communist countries and in Asia for 18 years, training the leadership of the church. They have 4 grown children, including the one in heaven, and 10 amazing grandchildren. Linda loves to encourage women to hope in God and trust in His faithfulness. So, let's go ahead and hear the first part of my wonderful talk with Linda Dillo. Well, hi, Linda. I know both of us have really been looking forward to having another conversation with each other. So welcome back to the podcast.
It's a joy to be here, Laura.
Thank you. Now, I have your book, Hope for My Hurting Heart, and I have a lot of things highlighted in it and things we can talk about. But before we dig into the book, can you just share why you wrote this book, which includes the story of your daughter, Joy?
Laura, I wrote the book because I needed hope. And I know that all people out there need hope because I sense that since COVID, there is more pain in people's lives, but especially those who have lost a child.
Yes.
And my story is that I had 2 daughters with cancer at the same time.
Now, they were on opposite coasts too, right?
Yes. One was in New Jersey and one was in California. And we were in Colorado in the middle, and this was in the middle of COVID when, as our son said, "Mom, you are elderly." I said, "Excuse me, you can call me elderly when I'm 90 and I'm not there yet." And he said, "But I've been doing research on this, and you probably shouldn't really be on a plane because you're over 70. And I was way over 70. And he said, It's just very dangerous for you. Your age group is the most dangerous age group for this virus. But we were going to see our daughter in New Jersey when she had chemo and weren't allowed to go because the doctor wouldn't even let us in her house. So she was very sick in New Jersey, and our daughter Joy was in California. And she said, "Mom, there's something really wrong." And it was very wrong because it turned out to be pancreatic and liver cancer. And she only lived 2 or 3 months after the diagnosis. And so we were there a lot. And her sister, who by that time, her sister Robin, who had had breast cancer, was better and was there caring for her the last 6 weeks of her life. And
Wow.
it was just such a shock. And none of us thought that it would happen so quickly. And they went from California to Arizona for treatment. Our whole family and many of her friends were there the day she died. And God met me that day and showed me a picture of what it was going to be like for her in heaven. And he was so gracious to me, Laura, but
Wow.
it was hard. And her husband came up to me at the end of the day and said, "It's been a beautiful day because there was prayer, there was singing, but our daughter was gone."
Yeah.
And, we knew she was in heaven and we knew we'd be with her again, but she was gone. Her daughter was sobbing in the corner of the room, and in the book, her daughter writes what that day was like. Her daughter is a poet, and it was, I don't know how people who don't know the Lord Jesus live through
Yes.
losing a child,
Yeah.
because it's hard for those of us who don't do know him,
Exactly.
even though we know that we're going to be, because it's painful. And so how do we live with the pain? And that's what I've written about, is where is the hope for my hurting heart?
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and dig into the book. So it is, oh, first of all, let me ask you. So you said that was during COVID. So how long has it been for you?
It'll be 5 years in March.
Okay. Because I know sometimes those who are older, when they lose an older child, like in their 50s or 60s, they feel like, well, my loss isn't as important as, I mean, I've lived a long life. My daughter had a failure child. My grief isn't as important as someone else's grief who lost someone who was younger. But it really is a deep grief. It just doesn't matter, does it?
It is a deep grief, no matter how. My child was 52 when she died, and it was a deep grief for her husband, for her daughter, for the whole family, for her friends, for everyone. She was a very vital person, and she is very missed. And her aunt, her aunt Robin, my daughter, who survived the cancer but still is not well, is going out to help her niece move another step in her healing. And I'm going out there too in March. The two of us are going together to help our granddaughter and niece to move. She's doing well, but there's something she just can't let go of, because she and her mother were best friends.
Yes.
And so it's hard.
I think every age has its own unique issues. Like you said, they were best friends. And it's, Becca and I, she was a hard one to raise because she was very strong-willed. But we had turned a corner and we were, like best friends. I mean, we enjoyed each other. We did a lot of things together. And so, those comparisons that are so awful. Well, at least you got to have your daughter for, 29 years. It's like, yeah, but I also lost one of my very best friends in the process. So, they all have their own unique layers and things that we just have to deal with. So, in helping us, like you said, how do we get through this? You have in the book what you call eight heart skills to help you cling to God and not give up. And I love that heart skills. They're not steps. There's no such thing as steps, but they're different things that we can learn and grow in that will help us. So we're going to do our best to get to all eight of these. We'll probably split this into two podcast episodes, and we're going to start with the word hope. Now, the world's hope is a lot different than God's hope. And you say that biblical hope means we can anticipate good
because that confidence is based on the nature and character of a good God, not on circumstances. Hope doesn't come from a change in circumstances. It comes from a change in my thinking. So can you talk a little bit about that?
It has to be who God is, because our circumstances change from day to day. And
yes.
our circumstances, that's wishful thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And our hope can never be based on that. They have to be based on who God is. And He's a marvelous God, and He's a God of mercy and comfort. And He's a magnificent creator, and He's the God of all hope. And
Yes.
so we place our hope in Him.
Before our child dies, I think we do have the hope that is more of a wishful thinking. It's, you know, God spare my child. And it's that hope that He's going to do what we want Him to do. Where the biblical hope that we need is the confident expectation that no matter what direction this goes, God's going to get me through somehow. No matter how angry I am, no matter how confused I am, just understanding He is a good God and He sees the big picture. He sees things from the view of eternity. We have such a limited
Yes.
human view.
Yeah, we have such a limited healing view. Laura, tomorrow I'm meeting and I'm going through these 8 heart skills with a precious woman here. She and her husband are in ministry, and 2 years ago, her 15-year-old son died of fentanyl. And they didn't know where he was the last month of his life.
Oh, my
And they
goodness.
found his body up on a mountain.
Oh.
And it's just horrible. And she's dealing with, God, how could you let this happen to him?
Yes.
And the whole drug thing. And it's, God, we prayed for him his whole life.
Yes.
And he wasn't protected. And he made wrong choices, but
Yes.
he was 15 years old. And so she wrote, with the last time we met, her declaration of hope and put it in the ground. And tomorrow we're talking about God's love for her and God's love for her son. And we have to realize that God is a God of hope and He's a God of love. And we have to see those two things before we can ever look at our loss and begin to lament. And I think that's, first of all, Americans don't want to look at loss.
No.
And they don't know how to lament, but we can't do that until we really understand what it means to hope in God. And we put a declaration of hope down and say, okay, God, I'm going to put this is my stake in the ground, and I believe that you love me and you loved my child.
Yes. Now that declaration of hope, that is the heart skill that you encourage for the area of hope. And you give some examples in the book. And, you know, like you said, the reason it's important is because without a declaration, I am declaring my hope is in you, God. And writing out some scriptures or some details, I'm going to hope for you here and I'm going to hope for this. And that is so important to establish that in your heart. Even if you don't feel it at first, you can still declare it until the feelings come, right?
Right. Well, and Laura, I was sinking before Joy died with both my girls. I didn't know if they both were going to live or die.
Right.
And I was trying to cling on to God, but I saw myself moving from despair into depression. And I know that I knew that I was going down. I felt myself going down the slide, and I was going to end in a very not good place.
It's almost like you feel like you're getting sucked under.
I felt like I was getting sucked under, and I said, God, what do I do? And He very specifically said, you have got to write a declaration of hope. And I wrote out 3 things, and they were based on scripture. And I said, okay, this is my declaration of hope. Do you want me to read it?
Sure, let's hear it.
The first thing I said was, God, don't waste my pain. Don't waste my pain. I said, Lord, my prayer is that you will be glorified through my pain. And the second thing I said, Father, use this pain to build perseverance, character, and hope in me. Use my pain to make me more like you. And that was from Romans 5, 3 through 5. You know, I didn't want to go through this pain because the pain was wrenching and come out the same. And the third thing I wrote was, Abba, comfort me so I can comfort others, from 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4. Let me nestle down in your soft comfort so completely that it will flow through me to others in pain. And he's done that. That's what I'm going to do tomorrow with this precious young woman who is suffering because her son died of fentanyl. And Friday, I'm meeting with a young woman whose husband, a policeman, was killed trying to help another man. So God brings these people to me and brings many whose children have died, just like he brings them to you. And so we are able to comfort others when we have found hope in God.
And that's the thing, you know, when we hear that scripture, so that we can comfort others, I think our mind tends to jump to that. And it's like, I don't want to comfort others. But that's because you have not received the comfort from God first.
Right.
I love how you said to just nestle in the softness of his comfort.
Right. And that's what he did. And he gave that to me. And when Joy died, I have the picture here. He showed me what it was going to be like for her in heaven. And I have a picture of that right here that I look at every day. And I got a picture of it for her husband and her daughter. And he comforted me in that way, but he comforted me with his presence, from his word, and he wrapped me in a soft blanket.
Now, I'm going to turn a corner here real quick, because for some reason, I feel like this is important for the listeners to know. Your walk with God, I would say, is a very mature and established walk with God, because you have even done missionary work in closed countries. You have had your life literally on the line, you know, times where you thought life could be over in those kinds of situations. And so I just feel led to share with the listeners that even someone, and you know, like me, I was an international children's minister. I've had a very strong and mature walk, but the death of our child, it just sends you into like a darkness that you didn't even know existed. And so if you're someone, it's like, well, I've never really read my Bible very much, or, you know, those kinds of things. Even people who would be considered pillars in the body of Christ, this can take them under. And that's even more the reason to hang on to God with everything you have, to allow him to be the one to pull you out of that darkness. I mean, the enemy's, that's his territory. He's going to do everything he can to keep you there. And so just holding on to God, that's enough. That's enough. Just hang on to God with everything you've got.
Absolutely, Laura. And I would say that I've grown more in my intimacy with the Lord through just being on my knees and saying, I need you. And I want to go deeper with you, and I want to know you more fully, and I'm desperate for you, and I want my self-dependence to all become God-dependence, like the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And I feel, I mean, yes, we faced great issues on the mission field, but I would say my intimacy with the Lord has increased much more through just being with him alone and with my husband. You know, I've read studies of what happens to marriages when you lose a child, no matter how old the child is, that it tears marriages apart. But my husband and I have grown so much closer through the death of Joy, but in the last 5 years, all three of the children that I gave birth to have had cancer. Our last child had cancer this summer.
Oh,
And
okay. Wow.
so, I mean, it's been 6 years of pain and wondering if our children were going to live. And my husband and I have held each other and wept together and sought God together. And we've just grown closer, not only to the Lord, but to each other. And that's what I pray for everybody listening to this
Yes.
broadcast, that if they're married, they can grow closer to their mate in the pain.
Yeah. I know the statistics that I've seen, a lot of it is based on what the marriage was like before the death. It seems to accelerate. If there were struggles in the marriage before, it seems to accelerate that. If there was, closeness in the marriage before, it seems to accelerate that. And that doesn't mean it's impossible if things were rough in your marriage, because God can do anything.
He can do anything.
Yeah, but I know for a lot of them, that's just another, almost like a domino effect. Then they find themselves in a horrible marriage and falling apart. So even that, we can have hope in God. Even if our marriage is falling apart, we can still have hope in the goodness of God and the goodness that this isn't forever. This isn't the permanent home. This is temporary. No matter what we're going through, it's temporary. You touched on love, and that is the second heart skill. And that the way to have hope is to really, truly know God's love for you, not just know it in your head, but to experience it. And I think so many who call ourselves Christians, we do that based on our belief rather than our experience with God's presence and our experience with His true love, not what we define as love. If God loved me this, or if you loved me that, that's not what love is. We see that when we raise our kids. We make decisions because I love you and you can't see the consequence and I can. And so let's talk about that. God doesn't want to start with doing. He wants us to start with receiving the love He longs to give. That's what your book says. Let's talk about that.
Well, we live in a pragmatic society. We are doers,
Yes.
and we feel good about ourselves if we can check off what we've done on our yellow sheet of paper, wherever we keep our list. And we stress the greatest commandment, which is wonderful, that we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we're to do that, but that's not where we start.
Yes.
We first have to receive his love. I had a young woman here Monday, and I asked her this question. I said, imagine God thinking about you. What is he thinking? And she started crying. And we were on our knees. I was worshiping with her, and she just started weeping. And she finally was able to get out. I'm his beloved daughter. And I said, that's a good place to start.
Yes.
And but she could hardly say it. And most people, if you ask them that question, they say, God is angry with me, or he's disappointed with me. Well, if that's how you think God thinks about you, then
Yes.
how can you receive his love if you think he's always angry with you or disappointed with you?
Yeah,
Because
and that comes from your mind. That comes from your own thoughts. That does not come from God's presence.
and it doesn't come from God's word,
No,
because
no.
God's word says he loves you.
Well, the interesting thing is the song "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, For the Bible Tells Me So." And
You
I was
taught that
thinking,
to children.
well, we do, but here's the thing. I've been wondering the last couple of years if maybe that's part of the problem. He loves me because the Bible tells me so, not because I have actually received that love. There's such a difference. But when you begin to receive that love, then when the Bible tells you so, it It makes it even more full and more wonderful.
Yes, yes,
But if
yes.
all you have is, well, I know he loves me because the Bible says he loves me, that's in your head.
It's in your head. And that's what this young woman said to me Monday. I know it up here.
Yes.
But I can't get it down to my heart. So I said, can I put my hands on your back? And I just prayed over her that God would take it from her head and push it down into her heart, because that's the truth. And she's just weeping because she says, I want it in my heart. And I said, God wants it in your heart, and he wants you to receive his love for you. And he wants you to feel his love for you.
Yes.
He wants it to be part of who you are. He wants you to wrap it around you like a warm blanket. Like
yes.
Said,
I actually, okay. So one of your, I've got two things here. One of the things that you, your heart skill is putting together a spiritual workout plan designed to deepen our intimacy with God. Now we're going to talk about that, but I want to show you something. Now the listeners aren't going to be able to see this.
Oh, your blanket of hearts. I love it.
Okay, people, it's Valentine's. I bought me a few years ago. This is a beautiful, soft blanket with a whole bunch of colored hearts on it. And I will wrap it around me as God's love.
That's beautiful.
As a symbol and to feel God's love around me. So, you know, when the book or we talk about putting together a spiritual workout plan designed to deepen our intimacy with God, this is something tangible you can do. And it's Valentine's Day, you know, so everybody can run out and get a heart blanket anywhere right now.
They're all over the, I
they
just
all over.
Because they're all over the
softer, the better.
They're all over Amazon.
Yes, yes. Almost any store you walk into right now. I do want to back up for just a minute because you were talking about we're so caught up on doing. We're not used to being. And I think that's where we trip up with God's love. Because we feel like we have to do something to earn it. We have to be good enough. We have to, but I messed up here. Or I did that, or I didn't do this, or, you know, it's my fault that. And we don't understand God's love for us is because we are. Just like your love for your child isn't because, I mean, some of you lost your children by their own hand. Did that make you stop loving your child? Your love for your child probably intensified. Now that they're gone. And your heart hurts horribly because of what they did to themselves.
Yeah.
And it's easy for us to blame ourselves, take the shame and the guilt. I should have, you know, all these things that I should have done to prevent this. You didn't stop loving your child. Those that had children run away or do horrible things, you don't stop loving your child because of what they do or don't do. You love them just because they are, because they came from you. Because they're your child. And it's for some reason, it's so hard for us to translate that to God. He loves us just because we are his creation. He created us for the purpose. He's got so much love. He wants to pour it out. And he created us to have somewhere he could pour out his love. And it's a matter of receiving it. It's not based on anything we do or don't do.
I love the picture of the blanket. That's beautiful.
Yes, everybody go out and get a blanket.
Everybody should get the heart blanket and wrap it around them. And it's, we need the tangible. We're human beings. And I love that. Thank you for sharing that, Laura.
Yes. All right. Let's go on to number three. See, I knew this was going to be a long talk, but I love it. Number three is the third heart skill is loss. And I know that doesn't sound like a heart skill, but it really is a huge one. And it could be, I would think, one of the hardest ones. And we could probably do an episode just on this one thing. Something that you put in the book on this is I want us to consider how we think about our loss and the pain associated with it. I've learned to ask myself two basic questions. Do I accept my loss? And how does God use loss to change me? How we answer these questions exposes our attitude about loss and reveals whether we are stuck in our pain or moving gracefully through it.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. No, I had four questions. And then I thought, no, there's really only two.
Mm.
I've had women come up to me and say, "Don't you think God can change us in the good times?" And I said, "Well, I don't think he's ever done that in me. It's in the hard times that he changes us, and I see that in the scripture." And he uses the hard times that are allowed in our lives, and so how can he use this? But first, I have to accept whatever. And I like being strong. I don't like being weak. And usually there's some weakness involved in loss. And whether it's physical or whether it's emotional, or like you and I have both said, the death of a child pushed us over in a way that we didn't expect it to. And yet it led us to God, and in a way that we're very grateful for, and taught us new things about him and gave us new intimacy. But it was hard, and loss is hard. And I've lived on three continents. Most Americans have not. I've lived here, and I've lived in Europe, and I've lived in Asia. And Americans, of the peoples I've lived around, we don't want to face loss. We want happy clappy. We want happy clappy Christianity. We want happy worship. And, when I studied the Hebrew religion and how they dealt with the death of a child, it was so different because they have a whole plan that you go through for a year.
They have readings that they do at certain times during the year.
But they have different things for stay for different things, and then they have a celebration at the end of the year. But there are certain things set out for a whole year that the family members go through. And what do we do in America?
It's like we have this big celebration of life, and then we pretend like, okay, let's go back to whatever. And there are those who are, it's like you can't go back
And
to
so what do
whatever.
Americans do? They stuff all their pain down and they end up at a counselor's office because they haven't known how to deal with the pain, because they've never looked loss in the face and dealt with it. And we have to do that. And we have to accept it, and we have to say, "God, what do you want to do in this?" And it's not real pleasant, but it's a necessary part of the grieving.
And I don't want anyone to feel judged who had a celebration of life for their child. I mean, we do want to celebrate their life, but quite often I think it's almost a cultural pressure now to have a celebration of life, because we don't want to be all sad and, mopey that they died. We want to be happy that they lived. And then you're glossing over, like you said, you're not accepting the loss. It's going to hit you at some point. It has to. So it's really a matter of accepting the loss. And then a word we don't like is surrendering to God about how He wants to meet me in that place of loss. Sorry to interrupt here, but this is where I'm going to end today's conversation, which I actually think is a pretty good place, reminding us that God wants to meet with us in our place of loss. Next week, we are going to pick it up here where we left off to talk about the other heart skills, and you are not going to want to miss those. I just want to let you know that the show notes have a link to Linda's book, Hope for My Hurting Heart. Now, if you click on that to order the book, this is an affiliate link, and that just means that a small portion of your purchase price will go to GPS Hope. If you have listened to or read anything from me in the last couple of weeks, you know how excited I am to be almost done with the paperback version of my newest book, The Bible's Grieving Parents. Now, one reason it's taking a little bit longer than I first thought is that I am also working on a companion journal to go with the book. Now, this journal is being created for those who want to sort out your own thoughts and questions that you have as you read about the lives of those in the Bible who lost a child. It's not overwhelming or heavy. It's just a gentle but intentional invitation. It's designed to walk with you as you process your own grief alongside the parents we meet in Scripture who also lost a child. My hope is that the paperback and the companion journal will be available together within the next couple of weeks, and I cannot wait for you to have both of these in your hands. This has been such a tender and precious project to work on for you and for my own heart as well. Now, each week I share our children's birthdays during the week their birthday falls on the calendar as a way of remembering lives that mattered. So let's go ahead with this week's birthday segment. Brenton Smith was born on February 10th and is forever 24. Gage Purcell was born on February 11th and is forever 11 years old. As always, we celebrate the day these children came into the world. It was always a day worth remembering and celebrating. If you would like your child included in the birthday segment the week of his or her birthday, just go to gpshope.org/birthdays. Fill out the needed info and submit it. We will only share it for their next birthday unless you request for it to be shared again the following year. So if this is meaningful to you, I would be honored to hold that special place with you of the day your child came into the world. I want to close by sharing something Linda wrote in her book, which says, "Pain redeemed is better than pain removed." Now, I understand this can be a hard statement to agree with when you are in the middle of that place of that horrific, suffocating darkness. But my hope and my prayer for you, and I know it's Linda's as well, is that you will take steps, no matter how tiny they may seem, to allow God to love on you right where you are. Allow His hope to infuse you and to start trusting Him as your refuge and strength, to be a very present help in your time of trouble, like Psalm 46 verse 1 says. You can start by getting yourself that blanket as a tangible way of wrapping yourself up in God's love for you. I look forward to sharing the rest of my talk with Linda next week. So until then, remember to hold on. Pain eases. There is hope.